Welcome to the Fit Chicks Chat Podcast, where we talk all things fitness, nutrition, and wellness for women to help you live your healthiest and fiercest life inside and out. And now, your hosts, Laura Jackson and Amanda Quinn.
Hello, everybody, and welcome to Fit Chicks Chat. I'm Amanda Quinn, and today I do not have Laura Jackson with me because I have a special guest with me. So today I'm actually having the honor of being able to interview Jill Coleman of Jill Fit. So Jill, hi, how are you?
Good. How are you?
I'm good, thank you. Thank you so much for taking the time out to chat with me and with our listeners and just sort of dive a little deeper into what you have going on and sort of how, really I think what we want to talk about today is like what you have done with your life from sort of where you started out to how you kind of transformed your life and what it is that you're doing now to live that sort of balanced lifestyle. And I love your story. So I think if it's okay with you, I'd love to just start there. And, you know, for anyone who's listening, I'd love to be able to start with just, if you don't mind telling us a little bit about your background and who you are and sort of how you got into the fitness, wellness, health sort of industry.
Sure. Yeah. It's interesting because a lot of people I feel like have this big, huge, you know, change or epiphany or something happened to them. For me, it wasn't, it was much more like less sexy than that. I was always into fitness, always loved exercise. Was an athlete growing up and went to school for it, got my undergrad in exercise science and went on to get my master's in clinical nutrition. So for me, it was something that was always just some extremely important part of my life, huge part of my life. And throughout my kind of early career, I did a lot of personal training, a lot of teaching fitness classes, and I started to get into figure competitions. So for several years, I did a lot of dieting and a lot of kind of crazy exercise routines in order to get ready for these shows and to get ready for photo shoots and things like that. And over time, I just started to feel a little bit obsessed with myself and my body, and it was making me miserable. So I decided that I need to make a change, and how could I, instead of making it about me and kind of my kind of ego pursuits, how can I make it about other people and really sharing my expertise with a larger crowd than just the clients that I have at my local gym? So that's when I started JillFit.com, the iteration that it is now, as a blog. And I just actually, for 2 years straight, I was working a ton of hours and I was just like, you know what, I'm just going to post every day. It's not going to be mind-blowing fitness content. It's just going to be something super simple, but people are going to come because I'm consistent, because I'm showing up every day. And so I did that for the first couple of years and just grew my platform like that.
Very cool. And so you were talking like, I mean, I think it's cool that you started out, you know, being athletic and everything. I'm the complete opposite. I had no athletic background whatsoever. And before I got into fitness was more of like one of those life changes sort of shifts for myself where I just realized that I had to get healthy. And so I made the change, and that's sort of what introduced me to, you know, living a healthier life and feeling better. But for you being athletic, was it just sort of like a natural progression then to get into fitness competitions? Did you feel about that way?
I was always someone who lifted weights, and I don't know, like, you know, growing up, I went to an all-girls high school, and so it wasn't super popular to lift weights in the 90s, really, for women. Yeah. but my best friend was an elite basketball player, and she was getting ready. She got a scholarship to college, and she was, like, you know, top, all these kind of, you know, had these crazy credentials. And so her dad kind of made her go to the gym when we were, like, 16.
Yeah.
So all my friends, like, no one else was doing that. No one was actually going to the gym after soccer practice. Just going to the gym after track practice, but we always went. And it was just us, and we were 16, and we're in there with all these like older, you know, men who were just, you know, lifting heavy weights, and we just didn't know what we were doing. We just put as much weight as we possibly could and did, you know, however many reps we could, and we did that every day. And like 6 months later, you know, when you're in your teen years, you have just so many like hormonal things going on that we were just really anabolic and we're eating a ton of carbs, and we were just putting on massive amounts of muscle really early. And so for me, I was really lucky to be able to build that at an early age, and it really served me moving forward. So when I did decide to do fitness competitions, I already had a base of muscle. I didn't have to put on a whole bunch of size. And so I just like the competitive aspect to it. For me, it was just one more way to be competitive outside of sports. And it was a different type of pursuit. It was the first time I really paid attention to my diet, mm-hmm. which was a huge change and something that, you know, got me into wanting to study nutrition and help other people with their nutrition. But I think there can be sometimes too much of a good thing and it can become obsessive. And I work with a lot of women now who are at that kind of peak of obsession. We want to know about nutrition. We read everything. We read all these blogs. We, you know, maybe get certified even because mm-hmm. we just want more and more and more. It feels good to get information that helps you change your body. You get a taste of it and you just want more of it, but it can become something that to the point where you are scared of messing up all the time, you're scared of doing the wrong thing. And so I've kind of come over on the other side of that where I'm like, you know what you eat really doesn't matter as much as your mindset around food. I know it sounds kind of strange and simplistic, but I do think that a lot of people can resonate with just these constant searching for more nutrition information. And what I found is it's not about the information so much as it's about being able to be balanced and being able to implement what you know in a way that doesn't stress you out all the time.
Yeah, no. And that's such a powerful statement, I think, because I think that's sort of like the fine line that I find a lot of people, especially like people that are just starting out even in their fitness journey, they feel like it's like an all or nothing mentality, right? Like they feel like it's got to go, like you have to go big or just don't go at all kind of thing. And I wrestle with this a lot with a lot of our clients in the sense of, you know, they feel as though it's got to be like, I have to work out 7 days a week and I have to add a walk every night. And then I have to just eat zero carbs and high protein and all these things. And they start getting so, you know, obsessed with this whole huge plan. And I think that either A, leads to the obsessive personality that continues and just keeps getting like, you can get more and more involved if you're not careful, or it can lead to a lot of failure, especially when it's someone that's just starting out, because they become so overwhelmed by so many things that it just, so it's kind of like this really double-edged sword in a way.
Yeah, I think it can become a trap. So you kind of hit the nail on the head when you get started. You know, the first time I ever dieted was easy. I saw my body change tremendously because I had never dieted before. So if anyone thinks back to the very first time they went on Weight Watchers or did Atkins or anything like that, their body probably changed pretty significantly. Mm-hmm. And for me, getting ready to get up on stage, I was getting a lot of affirmation for my looks and people are asking what I was doing. And you kind of become addicted to that kind of attention. And you mm-hmm. see that you can control how you look and by extension, how people perceive you based on looking a certain way, having a certain physique. So then we kind of start becoming obsessed with having, quote, the perfect body, which we feel like we cannot attain without having the perfect plan. And so you hit the nail on the head when you said all or nothing. It really is this idea that if we're doing just a little bit, it's not enough. Why even bother if it's just going to be a little bit? We might as well, if we're going to take this time and energy to go to the gym, then we need to be on the perfect meal plan at the same time. Because, you know, just going to exercise without having the corresponding nutrition, I mean, it's like it's a waste of time, which I don't believe that at all anymore, but I did back then. It was almost like, why even bother unless I'm going to go all in?
Right. And did you find when you were doing the competitions that, you know, because you were talking about like how you would have this like guilt or, you know, like, or, you know, clients that do, did you find that you wrestled with that as well in the sense of, you know, when you were getting show ready and things like that, if you did have those, you know, just, I don't even know if you had those moments of like what some people would call like maybe weakness or just like when you're giving into like a food craving or you're just so exhausted that you're like, you know what, I'm just going to pass on this session today. I'm not going to train today because I need to listen to my body. Were you able to do that without any sort of guilt, or did you find that you were really getting caught up in that?
No, I felt a ton of guilt. And I think it kind of goes hand in hand with like guilt and shame. Mm-hmm. For me, it was, I remember like some distinct times where I was hiding food or times when, you know, if someone saw me eating something, I thought I was being judged a lot. Now it's just like, I don't know. Now I see more the exact opposite, which is let yourself be an example of not having to be perfect all the time. But I had a lot of guilt around, especially when I was not getting ready for a show and I was, quote, you know, on my off season, even though I was still, you know, by all intents and purposes, a normal size, fit looking person, probably leaner than I am now. I felt like I needed to hide. You know, I felt really weak. I felt like people were judging me. I needed to wear men's large Hanes t-shirts like out in public because I was so scared of, being judged as someone who was seen as having so much willpower and being, you know, so dedicated and so committed. and then having, quote, let myself go, which is just a story that we tell ourselves, right? It's just now it's to me that kind of way of thinking and that way of living is repulsive, really. But back then there was a lot of guilt and shame around, you know, having something that wasn't on your plan or, and making it, taking it in and making it like that you're personally weak. Instead of saying, gee, maybe your physiology needs to have a little bit more carbs. It was, I'm weak. I'm not disciplined enough. I'm not a winner. I don't have the what it takes. And that is a trap. And it's also not true. It's just literally like you can never win a battle of wills against your physiology. It's always going to have that boomerang back effect. And I noticed that after my shows were over.
Right. No, that's
or anyone who goes on a diet. It's not even about like doing a show. It's anyone who goes on kind of a, you know, whether it's a, you know, a whole 30 or something where it's a little bit, it's just more depriving. You're always going to have that kind of boomerang effect, that overindulgence piece at some point. And I think that's normal. And I don't think it's to be judged. And so if anyone's like, oh yeah, I feel bad when I do that, it's like, that's not, you're human. Like that's what your physiology wants. So instead of, you know, being upset and mad at yourself and beating yourself up, can we figure out a workaround and a way to manage it and just kind of know what's going to happen, but maybe blunt the effect or get objective or get investigative and really get to know our own bodies so we don't have these huge swings.
Yeah, no. That's perfect. I mean, and that kind of goes into the next question I have for you, which is just, you know, what would be, I mean, in terms of like the lifestyle that you live now, because I know that you have moved away from doing competitions. And so what is working for you today? Like, how is it that you are living sort of that balanced lifestyle? What makes sense for you specifically? And then on top of that, what would you say would be like your top three kind of tips for our listeners that you would give to them in order to find balance, like where they can like either if they're just starting out in their fitness journey or if they're someone who has maybe, you know, been training for years, but they really need that change or they need to get away from that kind of trapped feeling. So I guess the first part is just like, what is it that you're kind of doing currently that's making sense for you since you have stepped away from that obsessive feeling?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I do want to kind of just reiterate to everyone listening that it is not overnight. This kind of stuff doesn't happen. So you don't go from someone who's kind of more an obsessive dieter and someone who is, you know, maybe an all or nothing way of, has an all or nothing way of being, the quote, start on Monday, or I'm just going to start this new plan. I mean, they've even shown research that people are more excited about the diet before it starts than they are while they're doing it. And that makes sense, right? We love the anticipation of, I'm going to be lean. I'm going to look the certain way. I'm going to be the certain person. But the day to day, the implementation of it is a lot harder. You know, we can tend to feel defeated and then we let that spiral into I'm not good enough. And then we have a history of feeling of not being able to do it, which kind of self-perpetuates into I'm not good at this. I can never do this, that kind of belief system. So it took me about 3 years to go from someone who was kind of doing a lot of dieting and crashing and binging to someone who was eating the same. We call it moderation 365, which is eating the same every day of the year, whether it's a holiday, whether it's a Saturday, whether it's a Tuesday or a Monday, not exactly the same foods, but the same level of satisfaction. So if you think about someone who does kind of the all or nothing approach, we have these periods of time where we're very high deprivation. And then we have periods of time where we kind of eat everything that we want and we eat with abandon because we're kind of binging and we're having that kind of that boomerang effect or whatever that is. And that's normal. So if you're experiencing that kind of weekly deprive, then binge on the weekends, then you deprive yourself during the week and you binge on the weekends. If you're feeling that way, like I was, the answer is to help to figure out how you can smooth out those highs and lows. So if you think about it, the deprivation piece can't be as depriving. And when you take that preemptive approach, those binges are also less. So the first step, and this is what I have been using for the last 6 years, which is something called preemptive cheats. So I know a lot of people don't like the word cheat. To me, it only has the meaning that you give it. To me, these are what I call nutritional gimmies. They're food items that you strategically place throughout the week, the times maybe you would be normally depriving yourself or being on a somewhat of a strict plan. Mm-hmm. You would give yourself these little kind of nutritional gimmies, these little satisfaction moments during your day to take the edge off. So for example, on Monday, if you're normally like super strict and you're eating egg whites and, you know, spinach and all this kind of stuff, you might add like a yolk or something to your eggs, or you might add a little bit, a sprinkle of cheese to your vegetables, or you might, you know, have a slice of bacon with those eggs, like having something that gives it a tiny bit more satisfaction, not a ton, but a little bit more satisfaction. So that by the time you get to lunch, you feel satisfied enough that you don't need to, that you don't have to be deprived, that you feel good. And then you get to Tuesday and you're like, oh, I feel pretty good. I had a glass of wine last night. Great. I didn't have like a whole bottle of wine, but I had like a little bit of dark chocolate, or I had one single glass of wine. So on Tuesday, I feel good. I eat pretty clean and I give myself these little nutritional gimmies. I call them preemptive cheats. One per day, two per day. So that by the time you get to Friday, you feel satisfied enough that you don't have to go off the rails. And people are, I think, really scared of this approach because they feel like, well, on Monday, I don't need to have something because I'm feeling so gross from the weekend. So on Monday, I like eating super clean because I just need to kind of like, you know, punish myself from the weekend, or I feel good. I don't need to have a couple of squares of dark chocolate, Jill, or I don't need to have a little bacon with my egg whites because I feel good. But that, oh, we do the same thing every week. We deprive, and then come Friday, we binge. At least these are the women that I work with. So the answer is not don't binge. The answer is get more satisfied earlier in the week, earlier in the month, or just in general, so that by the time the weekend comes, you can take or leave that binge. You're just like, I'm actually pretty good. Maybe you have a little bit more of something, but on the weekends, you don't have that huge binging episode anymore. So the answer is not, you know, just be better and just, you know, be stronger. It's literally give yourself some wiggle room, give yourself some balance, pick and choose your nutrition battles, and give these yourself these little preemptive cheats throughout the week so that when the weekend hits, you actually feel pretty good.
I love that. And I love that you call it preemptive cheats or the food gimmies, because I mean, I've never really had words to put into it, but that's sort of, you know, the rule of thumb that I personally try to follow as well. It's just kind of like just a bit more of a balanced eating. And I do find, as you were saying, like come the weekend, I no longer have that feeling of like, okay, now I get to go crazy because it's Saturday. You know, it's just like, every day is kind of the same. I just eat the same way. And if I want something, if I'm craving something, I try to figure out why I'm craving it, because sometimes it's also emotional. And then, but if it is something that I'm craving, I allow myself to have it without the guilt, because I know that like everything else throughout the day is pretty balanced. Mm-hmm. So I like that a lot.
Good. Yeah, no, I think it's, if you can start there, I think it's the best place to begin. And psychologically, it can be a little bit tough, right? Because I think we kind of like, oh, I don't want to, you know, give myself these little feelings of satisfaction because I don't quite need them yet. And then what if I have all those things and then I also binge? You know what I mean? So then we're like, well, I might as well. So I think there's some psychological stuff there that comes with just trusting yourself and trusting the process, and also looking at your history. For me, I actually got to a point where I was like, I keep trying to do the same thing and I keep doing, like, I keep like trying to change. I want things, something to change, but I keep doing the same thing. So obviously this is not working. So Look back at your previous, like look at your history. If you keep doing the same thing, if you're someone who does a diet, falls off the diet, you know, gets frustrated, beats yourself up, and then you just find another diet and you're constantly doing that and it's never working, look at the history of that. Why not try something different? Why not try this kind of preemptive cheat approach, this moderation 365 approach? You can always go back to the deprived and binge. Like there's no shortage of diets. So if you do get like, oh my God, I feel out of control, or I don't quite understand this, or I don't quite, you know, I don't feel in control, or I don't trust myself, then you can always go back to a meal plan, or, you know, counting calories, or go back to whatever it was that's less than my way of seeing things. Moderation 365 and how you describe the way you eat too, it takes some intuition. It takes some knowing yourself, understanding. And if I am craving something, I ask myself, why am I craving that? Most people don't do that. We don't introspection. Dieting has taught us to be less in tune with our body, right? It's like meal plans and counting calories and counting points and all this stuff has taken us away from that intuitive feeling of like, am I hungry right now? Mm-hmm. Or, you know, am I craving right now? If I am craving, why am I craving? Am I stressed out? Have I been skimping on sleep? Have I increased my training volume? Like, am I getting ready to have my period? We don't ask ourselves those questions. And so what this more intuitive approach on eating, I kind of hate the word intuitive eating, but that's what this is. This more intuitive way of eating helps us get back in touch with those biofeedback signals, but it is a long road. Like for a lot of people, it's easier just to be like, you know what, that's fine, Jill, but let's just jump on the 21-day whatever. And, you know, because that's a sure thing. Well, when in actuality, learning this stuff and learning your body and how it works is the most surest thing, but it does take a little bit more practice.
And so, and just out of curiosity, like for yourself currently and the way that you eat, because I know that you eat with this approach, do you then no longer count calories?
I don't count calories. For me, I mostly pay attention to what I call the satisfaction factor by foods. So yeah. I give you that one example, which is, it's just a good reminder to me to always try to make my meals a tiny bit more satisfying. So I call it navigating the middle. So I don't pick something that's going to make me feel deprived later. And I don't go all in and like eat everything that I possibly want. For yeah. me, that like, how do I figure out how to eat something healthy with a tiny bit of satisfaction factor to that meal? So for me, that would might like literally be adding a yolk to an egg white omelet, or having two slices of bacon in the morning with my egg whites, or having a sprinkle of cheese and some nuts on my salad, or, you know, having a glass of red wine with dinner. Like these small, tiny things that in actuality don't add up to a ton of stuff, but they take the edge off enough to prevent the huge binges. So if you think about a binge on the weekend, you're easily taking in 5,000, 10,000 calories, like without even thinking about it.
That's crazy.
So instead, could you be like, let me take like 2,000 of those calories, or even 1,500 of those calories, and yeah. spread them out throughout the week with these tiny little things that add satisfaction to the way that I feel, whether it's my mouth feel or, you know, I just really enjoy that food and I don't want it to feel off limits, so that by the time you get to the weekend, you just eat normally versus having these huge swings. And so calories, I don't necessarily, for me, my goal is how can I feel more satisfied now so I prevent bigger and worse binges later.
Yeah, no, that's great. I follow the same thing in the sense of I don't count calories. I don't weigh my food. I try to avoid that because I feel like for me, knowing my past, knowing my patterns, it will make me become more obsessive, and I want to avoid that at all costs. So I just try to eat very intuitively. And again, just follow my body's lead, I guess, in some ways.
Yeah.
In terms of your fitness, what is it currently that's working for you as well? Like, are you still training as often as, are you still lifting as heavy? Like, sort of, what does that look like for you?
What's really interesting is once you start doing moderation 365, and I've had this with hundreds of my clients, they don't like to do anything else.
Yes.
So they get to the point where they're like, they see their friends jumping on a diet, or they see someone around them doing some sort of cleanse or detox or jumpstart, and they're just like, I don't want to do that. So it's kind of nice. You, instead of having the FOMO of like, because they know that they've created the perfect plan for them.
Right.
And that's a really nice place to be. So with that being said, nutrition is always the same. So it's like, even the idea of depriving myself or eating something that is like not really what I want to be eating is like, I'll rebound just off the thought of that. So for me, when nutrition is similar, the one biggest variable tends to be training, which is fun because if nutrition is the same, then you can see the results of your training and kind of go like, oh, that's cool. So for example, the last 6 months, I've been focusing mostly on powerlifting. So I've gotten a lot stronger and I put on probably like 5 to 7 pounds of muscle, which has been really interesting to see. I'm not really so much worried about my weight. Mm-hmm. My clothes still fit and all that, but it's been cool to see the change in my physique, having kept my nutrition the same, mm-hmm. and just kind of seeing, oh, I am getting stronger, or I don't do a whole lot of volume. I don't like to be in the gym for longer than 40 minutes in general. I used to do hours and hours, like literally 3 hours of cardio sometimes.
Crazy.
And so for me, it's minimal effective dose. I always try to do something that's more intense and shorter. I know it depends on your goal, right? It depends on your goal. Mm-hmm. If you're getting up on stage, then probably have to be there for a little bit longer. If you're someone who's training for endurance, you're going to have to put in some more mileage. If someone, you're working on strength, you're working on putting on muscle, or you're just working on maintaining, you can have a minimal effective dose of like 30 minutes a day, you know, 4 to 5 days a week. And that's going to be plenty. So for me, I like high volume. I like intense exercise. I do a lot of leisure walking to kind of offset some of that stuff. But I've trained a lot. Actually, I train probably 6 days a week, 40 minutes or less every day.
Awesome. And then I was looking at your program that you have, the Mindset Makeover course. And,
yes.
And I just think, because we're talking about sort of the top, I guess, three tips for more balanced lifestyle. And I do think it has to be from a holistic standpoint, from, you know, the fitness side, the nutrition side, but then the mindset side. And I was looking at that course, and can you tell our listeners a little bit more about it? Because I find it really interesting. And I love that you have a course specifically around mindset, because it's, I think, the one area that does get overlooked a lot when it comes to actually transforming your body and transforming your health.
Sure. Yeah. I mean, to me, mindset is critical. It is a lot tougher to sell someone on the concept of mindset. So it's been interesting to see from a business perspective. But once you start getting a taste of When I say mindset, all I mean is that you have a choice over how you perceive things. So for example, I don't know, I'll give you an example. When I was doing competitions, I was not doing mindset work. So I didn't have any like psychological tools to help me when I was starting to feel shame or when I was starting to feel guilt over eating something or, you know, when I was hiding my physique because I felt, quote, fat. Like I didn't have any tools or any introspection or any insight into how to change that. I just thought it was very objective. I didn't have a six pack. So that meant I was fat, which meant I need to cover up. Like I didn't have any sort of like wiggle room for understanding that. And I didn't know that the shame was keeping me in this place of feeling like a victim. So it was after I finished competing, actually, and I started looking at positive psychology. So I was really into science. Obviously, I love biochemistry and things like that. And I was like, you know what? I don't really know. Some, you know, Eckhart Tolle and people like that, like Deepak Chopra, was just not my thing. Like I was just like, oh, that's weird. And I don't really get it. That's like probably, you know, that's the more like spiritual side of mindset work.
Right.
Let me just start with like positive psychology. This is really cool. There's a lot of research to back it up. And it starts with people who are more optimal, like optimalist or optimist in mindset. They feel as though they have a say, like what they do matters. Like they have a choice in how they show up in the world. They have a choice in how they perceive a situation. So previously, if I didn't win a show or I was, you know, over eight something, I would blame myself and I would just beat myself up and all this kind of thing. And I had no choice but to feel that way. Then I started reading about positive psychology and self-compassion and self-efficacy and all these different constructs that helped me put those things in perspective. And so your mindset is just, in my mind, your perception. It's how you're perceiving the world. It's how you choose to see yourself. It's how you choose to see the dieting process or other relationships, like your friendships, your romantic relationships, whatever. It's how you choose to perceive those. And for me, the goal started to become, I want to feel good. I don't want to feel bad. I don't want to feel shame. I don't want to feel guilt. And so the Mindset Makeover course is all about how to unbox a lot of those feelings of perfectionism and how to overcome feelings of shame or guilt or feeling like the victim of circumstances or feeling as though, you know, for me, it was like my diet was victimizing me, right? Or like, you know, now I work with women in business and, you know, Facebook is victimizing us because we're not, no one's seeing anything, right? So you have a choice in how you perceive that. And so for me, the Mindset Makeover is how do we start unboxing some of those like old maybe stories that we've been telling ourselves and not questioning them to start beginning to question them and being like, oh, there is a choice here. I can show up empowered instead of like a victim. I can choose to show myself compassion. I can choose to show other people the benefit of the doubt. I can choose to see myself in a certain way. And that's going to make me, and so here's where it ties into nutrition and fitness. When I have that self-compassion and I'm like, and I do start to investigate and I start to get more clear, I'm much more likely to implement the healthy behaviors because I'm not busy beating myself up. I'm not taking up all this mental space being like, I suck, I can't do this, I'm weak. And that takes up a lot of mental space, but saying like, you know what, I probably didn't do the best this week, but it's fine. Like I'm human. I'm going to get right back on it. No issues. Like what's next? That is a more empowered place. And when you come from that empowered place, you're much more likely to actually do the things that you really want to do and implement the things that you know to do. And so that's where mindset to me is that it bridges the gap between knowing something and doing something.
I love that. Thank you. That was a great explanation of exactly how it all kind of comes together. So I know that for you, I mean, in terms of like basically, you know, helping women is sort of your key, right? In terms of like helping them find their power and empowering them to, you know, live their best life and sort of, and that's kind of like our main goal with Fit Chicks and with our Fit Chicks podcast is, you know, really just about empowerment and helping educate women as much as possible to basically find the knowledge and find the information they need to live their best life. And so just to wrap up, I guess, our conversation for today, what would be your one piece of advice that you would have to women, you know, if you had the one thing, the like lasting impression kind of thing to live their like most fierce, happiest, healthiest life, what would be that one sort of golden nugget that you'd want to share with them? Outside of everything else you've already shared.
Yeah, no, it's a tough question because, you know, something comes to mind. You know, I'm trying to think about for me what has been the most impactful and what has been the biggest switch, and also for the women that I work with and what I kind of see. Mm-hmm. I think that I would tell people to be, because as women, I think we tend to get caught up more in like the comparison trap and, you know, feeling a little bit more competitive or envious of other women or just, you know, kind of judging. Mm-hmm. And I certainly was in that space when I remember if I was not, you know, not lean and someone else was getting ready for a show, I felt less than if, you know, in business, if someone was crushing it and I was feeling a little bit like flailing, I would feel bad. So I think probably the biggest piece of advice I could give someone is to engage and to take action, to do something, anything. It always makes you feel much more in your power. So if I'm sitting around, I'm kind of feeling like a victim. I'm kind of feeling like, oh my God, everyone else is, you know, getting great results. And, you know, of course, social media just amplifies that. We're sitting around feeling less than, or we're feeling like we're not good enough, or feeling like it's stagnant in our own growth. The key is always doing something for yourself, engaging in something that makes you excited or gets you pumped up. So it can be something like starting, you know, it can be anything like as small as getting a new hobby or educating yourself, reading a new book or listening to a podcast or doing something to kind of better your own like mental space. Mm-hmm. And to feel engaged. For me, it was starting a business. So it could be, you know, just like writing a blog. It could be, you know, writing that book that you've always wanted to. It could be, you know, joining a class to learn how to cook or to, you know, salsa dance. It could be anything where it puts you in your power because you feel like you're not sitting on the sidelines watching everyone else live their life and create their life. So to me, it's creation and engagement and action taking. Even if you're not sure of the right action, that will appear the more action you take. So I hope that makes sense. So for me, it is about engagement. And when you feel that way, even if you're scared, if you're taking action, for me, like one of the things that I did was I went on a solo trip, and that was really scary because I was married for a long time and I was like, oh my God, I've never traveled by myself overseas. Mm-hmm. But I felt so, and I was scared the whole time, but I felt so empowered by doing that. And so if you are feeling, you know, like you're maybe not creating your life, or you feel like you're a little bit of feeling like a victim, or you're not where you feel like you want to be, taking action, it could be anything, with the goal being of uncovering some sort of purpose or some sort of level of meaning. For me, definitely starting a business, writing a blog, sharing my expertise online, going and traveling, picking up hobbies, reading books that were bettering me. I wrote a novel in 2013 just because I was like, I need something to like make like, you know, I was in a kind of a funk and I was like, let me just do something that I feel like I'm creating and that feels like an accomplishment. So engagement always puts us back in our power.
I love that. I agree with you. I do think that, you know, and I also think that once you start taking action and you start feeling that empowered feeling, and I'm sure this is exactly what you were saying, is that you then want to start taking action in other areas. Like it all kind of, because it fuels your fire, right? It's like when you have momentum in your life and you're building on something and you're creating something, you want to continue that feeling, that momentum, and that desire continues to build within you.
Totally. And it's like, you know, action begets more action. So it sounds like that's what you're saying, is like, you yes. start to see like, oh, I did this one thing. So I have evidence now that I can do something. So I'm much more likely to take a larger action. And by the way, like it keeps getting bigger and bigger, doesn't it? Like, yes. So you're like, okay, let me do the podcast. And then you're like, oh, I did a podcast. Now potentially I could hold an in-person event or hold a live event. Okay, I'm going to do that. Okay, the next thing, maybe I could write a book and get a publishing deal. Like it's yeah. always something. That's the next level. So try not to get overwhelmed with like how big it could be, and just focus on like the one small thing that you can do now to put yourself in your power. And the more action you take, the more action you'll continue to take. It's really cool.
I love it. Well, thank you so much, Jill, for all of your time today and for all of your insight and all of the great tips that you had for our listeners. Why don't you just share with our listeners how they can get in touch with you if they're interested in learning more about any of your courses? I know that you have a ton of different options, whether it's fitness related, nutrition related, business related, mindset related. You've got so much happening. So if you can share sort of your contact so that they know how to get in touch with you, that'd be awesome.
Sure. So just jillfit.com is probably the best way to see if you guys are interested in learning more about any of the products or services or free stuff that I do. Mostly everything is under the realm of mindset, body, or business. So I have fitness programs, nutrition programs, mindset courses, and also I do a business mentorship every year. And all of that's at jillfit.com. And you guys can hit me up on social media. Let me know that you listened to the episode. And if you have any questions, I'll be happy to connect with you just at jillfit on all the channels.
Yeah. So thank you again so much for all of your time and your insight, and thank you for just coming and joining us on Fit Chicks Chat today.
Thank you for having me. It was a blast. Thanks.
Thanks for listening to the Fit Chicks Chat podcast. Want more healthy love? Visit www.fitchicks.com for amazing resources, free workouts, recipes, tips, and so much more to help you live your healthiest and fiercest life, inside and out.